This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Master wants to take the precious from us.
You mean the metal?
He plans to destroy our precious.
Okay, first of all, say it, don't spray it. Second, I agree with you.
We must kill Master and get the precious back.
Wow, look at you. You are brassy.
We lead them through the tunnel to the Jürgenherberge. She likes to drink the nectar. When they go in, they won't come back out.
Roger, you're alive.
What happened to your hair?
What? Nothing. It burned off in the crash. I like it. Do you like it?
No. It looks really bad.
Well, fuck you. Hey, how crazy was that plane crash, huh? Luckily, no one died but the pilot.
What happened to you?
Well, landed in a tree, was impaled on a branch, pulled it out, turned it into my walking stick. Very proud of that. Lost it. Devastated. And here we are. Luckily, I know this mountain from all my IOC ski trips. In fact, I know a shortcut to the top.
Fantastic!
That's great, Roger!
They goes up, but they won't come back down.
What did you say?
I asked if you wanted to buy some weed. I said it in a weird voice so your dad wouldn't hear, but now he did. So you blew the deal.
It was good weed, Steve says.
Wow. Okay, we're doing it. It's me, Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And this is the 19th episode of our second season. We're working our way through the Lord of the Rings franchise for the very first time. We got a ton of people helping us. We've seen all of the Lord of the Rings things you can truly watch, like the three movies, the Hobbit trilogy, the Tolkien biopic, the animated trilogy, fan films, video games. We've done fanfic. We've seen the memes. We played Dungeons & Dragons, which was very fun. We dug into some fan theories and lore last week. So this week, we watched the Lord of the Rings parody episode from the animated sitcom American Dad. This is episode 13 of season 5 called Return of the Bling, and it can be streamed on Hulu. Wait, I didn't let Lauren into... Oh, my God.
You're fine.
I was just talking and talking.
Do you think I need to talk? I'm good.
Like a streaming on Hulu Sling. You can purchase it on YouTube and Amazon Prime. And then I have a co-host.
I'm here too. And you know what? Of course, we're going to have a million spoilers and talk about things we've watched. And if you have a problem with spoilers, I don't know what to tell you. You should just never look at anything and never listen to anything. But before we dive in, we looked through some fan theories. Is there anything that stuck with you, Nicole, from this period, or have you just moved on completely from the fan theories?
Honestly, what a stunningly good question. Truly a treat of a question. I gotta say, literally nothing has stuck with me. I forgot that we talked about Tom Bob Dildo.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I don't remember much of it, but one thing I did see someone tweeted at us that it was like funny that we went from being people who have never seen anything in this to then like arguing fan theories and being like, that one actually doesn't make sense because, oh, Frodo would never.
It is very funny.
It's pretty shocking. But I'm very excited about our guest today. Our guest today is very special. It's Rachel McFarlane.
Oh, hello. Whoa. Rachel, so happy to be here with you, ladies.
I'm going to give you a little bio background on you for a sec. Rachel is a voice actress and singer, and her voice credits include Haley Smith on American Dad. So we're very excited to have you here. And she also voices Lucille on Fancy Nancy and a bunch of characters on Sophia the First, among many other credits. Too many to get into today, of course. If I read your IMDb, I'd be sitting here forever. Welcome, Rachel. We're so excited to have you.
So happy to be here. This is super fun. And I feel like I should just say for the record that I am a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings.
I'm very glad to hear that.
It is like a comfort series for me. You know, we all have those where like if it's on, you watch it. That's what that is for me.
So anytime it's on, you would sit down and just be like, let's pick up in the middle of a Hobbit or whatever.
But but I was going to say, but let me clarify. Like, I am a huge fan of Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and Return of the King. I don't deal in the Hobbit world.
Okay. I feel like that's what everybody says.
I'm sorry. I couldn't like the Return of Smaug. I didn't do that.
It's very common that people are like, I cap it at Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yes.
But weirdly, I kind of liked The Hobbit, and I feel like that's my biggest downfall. Like, I think that's my.
I don't know. And I also feel like I should confess to purists listening that I also never made it through the books. I stopped at A Shortcut to Mushrooms. That was as far as I got.
I think that's fair, though. I think if you really like the movies, you have earned your place as like a fan. Like, that's enough.
I don't know. It's funny because if we're talking Harry Potter, I would say very differently. I'd be like, you haven't read the books? Are you fucking kidding me? You can't talk about Harry Potter if you haven't read the books. But I don't know. Yeah. Lord of the Rings, I'm like,
When did you discover it? Like when it came out or later in life?
No, we had a family tradition of going to the movies on Christmas. This was just something that we did as a family. And so Lord of the Rings movies came out on Christmas. I don't know if you guys know that or remember that. That was the thing. And I remember my parents and my brother and I going to see Fellowship of the Ring on Christmas in Ojai. And
is that where you're from? Like,
no, I'm from Connecticut, but my family moved out to California back in 99, I guess. I was 98. I think Seth was 97. My parents were 2000. By 2000, we were all out here.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I fell in love with it. I love Fellowship. And then that sort of just started it.
I think there is, that sounds nice, so like having that tradition of going to the movies on Christmas, and I feel like that would kind of set are there any other movies that like stuck with you from that like felt special from going to see them on Christmas?
God, it's so funny. Those are the ones that really stick out to me. And I think because like, so you guys have obviously watched them now, all of them.
Yes.
You know the scene in Fellowship that it's like, it gets really quiet and Aragorn and, I'm totally blanking on her name, Liv Tyler, are having their moment on the bridge, right? It's super quiet. And my dad is just like hoovering popcorn so loudly next to me and just crunching so loudly. And I was like, dude. And I like grabbed his hand. I'm like, stop. This is a moment. Like,
this
are
is
you
the
serious?
One romantic kind of moment we get. Yes. Do not chew during this.
Erwin? Oh yep. Is that her name?
Erwin, get you.
Erwin.
Wow. Oh, look at me. I can't believe Erwin. I got that.
Eowyn is the Rohan gal with the blonde
hair.
Thank
you. Thank you. Right? I felt like I was speaking another language. I was like, Eowyn?
No, but yeah, God, Erwin? Yeah. Wow, people are laughing right now.
Arwen. You've been corrected in the chat. This is the best part of this podcast because we have truly listened to, watched, absorbed everything related to this, and we still go like, what's that guy's name? I don't know.
Yeah. For whatever reason, it just doesn't stick in my brain. It just like jumbles up and like gets spit right out.
Well, look, I mean, whenever by the way, just PS, COVID brain is real. It's like pregnancy brain. Like it things don't stick in the noggin. So I'm trying to remember his name, Elijah Wood.
Uh-huh.
Whenever he says Mordor, it always sounds like he's saying Moldor. Like he's adding an L. Did you ever? That's something that's always bugged me.
We haven't been able to pronounce a single thing.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, so I was like Moldor,
is it Mordor,
Mordor
or Moldor?
Same thing to me.
Right. I think it's Mordor. think.
Did you rewatch them this year? Have you been? Oh, nice.
I have two daughters. I have an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I'm introducing my 11-year-old.
How'd she like it?
We're at Two Towers right now, and she's digging it. When it started, she was like, "So, Mom, is that guy with like the longer hair? Is he in this one?"
Like, yeah. Will he be returning?
Exactly. Is he coming back? Yeah. And then it was the Lord Elrond, the head of the elves, when they first get to Rivendell, and he comes out and she's like, "Wow, that is a handsome man." And I was like, "Wow, so this is our moment. This is where this is all happening."
That's so
in
nice.
The Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
I
so,
love
yes,
that.
We have watched them this year.
Are you excited for the new Amazon TV series?
Really?
Yeah, there really is one. It's being made. I think for us it's a blessing that the podcast will be over before it comes out, because we've just, you know, by that point it's like I think we'll have filled a year with content related to Lord of the Rings, and it's I can't.
Which is almost like the Hobbit movies being three movies.
Oh god.
There's not that much content to keep talking about.
That's a slog. Really? They're remaking it?
I think
it's
got a different storyline.
Yeah, and there's gonna be nudity.
Well,
that's the part we're excited about.
That's like the only thing that has stuck with me.
Okay.
That if I continue watching Lord of the Rings, I'll be rewarded with nudity.
Well, you may or may not. I think what it was that they put like an ad out
for extras
who are willing to be nude in it or something.
I guess it's like, so. I mean, who are the characters that are going to be nude though, right? Like,
hopefully
I don't need to see Gandalf.
I was
going to
say, we need Gandalf.
Gandy gal.
We have to know what's going on. If you just see him get out of the shower.
Oh, God.
You're like, this isn't what I thought it would be.
No.
So,
wow, I had no idea. Okay. I might dip my toes in if I'm particularly bored one evening.
Do you like fantasy stuff like Game of Thrones, that kind of thing? Or is this kind of the one that
so
got
funny.
Through?
I was going to say no, but then I was like, no, I love Game of Thrones. I was a big fan of Game of Thrones till the very end, like most people. And I mean, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, as I mentioned. So yeah, I guess so. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up kind of in a nerdy household. Star Trek was a huge, huge, huge thing in our house. So, yeah, I guess I kind of lean that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you and your brother's older than you?
He is, yeah.
And were you influenced by him with that kind of stuff? Or was this something that, yeah.
Totally. I like to think that maybe I influenced him in the musical theater realm, because I was a huge musical theater nerd, still am.
Uh-huh.
But he definitely brought all that, other stuff into the house.
That's fun. I have an older brother and I have like so many of my interests from growing up were like just literally based on what he liked. And that
was totally, but I, it's like, I'm watching that happen in my house right now. Right.
Oh,
with my 5-year-old watching my 11-year-old being like, oh, this is what we're into. Right. This is what we think is cool.
Yeah.
That's cute. I don't have experience with that. My sister would be like, do you want to do this? Maybe like, no!
Yeah.
I'll do something different.
Goes either way, right? It's either like you're all in or you're like, I don't want to have anything to do with what you're doing. Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned to you, Nicole, that I wore my brother's JNCO jeans to school in 6th grade. You know, those really big jeans.
Oh,
that are
I know JNCO. I've been looking for a pair.
You want some?
Currently.
Those don't look good,
I
actually.
Love them.
Wow.
I had one pair. My mother was so mad. I think they were like $64. And she was like,
yeah, that was
for
a lot.
What? These pants are too big for you. And I was like, I know, that's the point.
That's what's so good about them.
Oh, I love
them. You could
them.
Put anything in the pockets.
I remember that with a pair of Guess jeans from Macy's where we could never afford to shop at. And they were like $60. And I was like, but you don't understand. I'm going to live in them. And I did. I did. I wore them like all 6th grade year.
Well, that's
yeah.
See,
I wear my JNCOs a lot.
You make it worth it. Then it's like $1 a day or
yes.
less.
Uh-huh.
You know? Wait, Nicole, is your sister playing with her Molly doll? I don't know.
She said she has it set up, but she's like, I feel weird playing with it. I was like, yeah, you live alone. It would be an insane thing if you just started playing with dolls.
Molly, American Girl? I'm with you. Come on.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Hello.
We went down like a major rabbit hole on one episode just talking about American Girl dolls instead of Lord of the Rings.
And I had Kirsten.
Me too.
And I also had Samantha.
Well, because that was back when we looked through the freaking catalog and like flagged the pages, and getting an American Girl was the biggest
deal.
Ugh.
It was the biggest deal. And then Nicole decided to send her sister a Molly doll.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Because I cut all the hair off hers. And I was like, wouldn't that be like a fun thing? And then she got it and was like, Nicole, somebody sent me a doll. I don't know how they got my address because it didn't have any like card or anything. She just thought someone found her address and sent her like this doll she loved.
Oh my
God. And I didn't tell her for a minute it was me.
I just realized it was probably creepier because it was like from eBay, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it just came from like a person's house.
Yeah. You can't get Molly anymore. Molly's like, yeah.
She's
Molly's retired. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. So is Kirsten. Kirsten's retired too.
Dear kids,
why
American
retire
Girls?
The class? They should have like a classics line. Who do we talk to?
I know.
They're making a huge mistake because what they don't understand is that our generation likes nostalgia and we mm-hmm. will buy the thing again and we want it. So
you better believe it. You better believe it. Like, I would buy that doll in a heartbeat because I gave her away. I was a nanny in the 90s in New York and I gave my Kirsten to the little girl I was nannying for, not having the foresight to think maybe one day I'll have daughters and I'll want to save this doll for them. Right? Mm-hmm. So now I was like, and oh my God, 2 days ago, my 5-year-old just got her first American Girl for Christmas.
What did she get?
And I swear I was more excited than she was. Like I put all the shit together. I was like changing the clothes and like making the bed. And it was, oh. Well, she got one of the ones that you make to look like your kid.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome. I mean, those and are it, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh my God. And the dolls are just like, it was such a sense memory thing. Like looking at the clothes, and I've already ordered her so much more shit. Like I'm like, oh, let's go on the American Girl website and order more.
That's so fun. It's so accessible now with the website. Like I feel like that makes it so different than like having to place an order through a catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels
like
such a big production.
I know this is not an American Girl podcast, but
it is.
Yeah, it secretly is. It's truly turned into one.
The books that went along with the historical dolls. I bought one of those for my older one, the Molly book, actually, where her dad's like not there, right? And they have to mm-hmm. ration the food and she doesn't want to eat the turnips.
Yeah, I mean, the Victory Garden.
Yes, the Victory Garden. So I swear I was more into it than Bella was like, okay, mom, whatever. Like, this rando book that you're telling
I
me.
I think it was like we, like, I don't know, we had dial-up internet growing up and then the books were just like a fun portal into things that like a kid can just look up on Wikipedia now.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And I remember like her mother making the hula costume for Halloween and like, yes! Oh my God.
That was so cute.
That shit up. I know. And now they don't really come with books. And even
there's no history to them. They're like, there's just 1,000 versions of the doll. You know, that we got really sucked in on the website and we were looking at the, there's one from the 60s that's really cute. There's like a few. And the 80s one is fun. But that one does make me feel old in a way that I'm not ready for.
God, totally.
Yeah,
I know.
I agree. The 80s one is like, oh, boy. Yeah. That's like real vintage to some kids now.
That's really kind of terrifying.
Like, she has a cassette player. Okay, well, Nicole, should we jump into our Shire Wire? This is our news segment where we discuss Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And we can always go back to American Girl at any point. Don't be afraid.
Just a segue.
So Ian McKellen fans are making Lord of the Rings jokes after the actor received the COVID-19 vaccine. So Ian McKellen, who's 81, was among the very first group of high-risk people to receive the UK's new vaccine, describing the moment as special. On social media, many fans of him made the same joke, alluding to the actor's best-known scene in Lord of the Rings. And in the first film, The Fellowship of the Ring, Gandalf is seen taking a stand on a bridge to prevent the monstrous Balrog from crossing. And as the Balrog threatens him and the Fellowship, Gandalf bellows, "You shall not pass." And the line is one of the film's most cited quotes. So people are repeating that line saying, "You shall not pass, COVID."
Meaning COVID's not going to get through?
It's not going to pass through
It's not going to pass through him, make him sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sir Ian McKellen has had the COVID-19 vaccine, joked one person. At least if he has a test in the future, it'll hopefully save them having to tell him, "You shall not pass." "You shall not pass your infection onto me," quipped someone else. So everyone's having fun on Twitter, making fun of him for getting the vaccine, which, look, I think that's very stupid.
It's not even.
It's literally a pandemic.
I also think it's kind of dumb because it's a real life thing. This man is a million years old. He's getting vaccinated. Just let him live his fucking life. He's worked on so many other things.
It's also like not even a really good pun, or like it's not even clever. Like it's
no,
not,
it's,
it doesn't.
It's a first draft.
They have to explain it so much. Yeah.
No.
It's like no, it's not. It's not clear enough.
It's a stretch at best.
I mean, Nicole, I'm mentioning this because it's in our notes that people shout "nailed it" at you. I'm not trying to bring that up, but. Is this the same as that for you, that people are going to say nailed it when they, basically you shall not pass? It's your like quote.
Yeah. And the only time people screaming nailed it has ever been funny, it's usually like the same thing. It's at like a punchline of a joke during a show or like just screaming it at me. But I have two screws in my ankle right now because I dislocated my ankle. My doctor took a video during surgery and he was like, nailed it, because he literally put nails in me.
He wasn't.
Nothing will be funnier than that.
But okay, he did also know that you host Nailed It, or that was.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so he played it cool and didn't mention it.
That's really funny.
Until surgery. And then I laughed. So hard. I was like, honestly, what a beautiful, no one amazing. Will do better.
I feel like that's maybe the only doctor that can get away with that for you. Like any other doctor, it would feel really personal. Like if it was like a gynecologist.
Like if it was your OBGYN.
Yes. Yeah, right. And they put the little duck bill in, they're like, nailed it. And you're like, oh, I have to leave.
Like, no,
I have to get out of here.
I don't want anyone to talk to me about work while I'm like, you know, in stirrups.
Yeah. a friend of mine said the other day just about this, that it's like yes, I know that you're about to literally like look into my body, and yet I'm still gonna hide my bra and underwear under my jeans.
Oh, of course. Oh my god, I do that. I even got up recently and like hit it again. Like I was
exactly.
Like,
it's like, oh, it's peeking out. Like he's gonna see your vag in like 5 minutes, and you're like, oh god, I gotta tuck my underwear in.
Like they know everything.
But it's like sometimes you don't wear your best, and you're like, I don't want them to know what I put on my body. Hopefully the inside is better than the outside. Well, because I do that too. I hide it and I like fold it in. And it's just like a whole thing.
I think we all do it.
It does feel more embarrassing than them seeing your insides. And I don't know why. It's like maybe because it's a choice. Like I can't control mm-hmm. what's going on down there, really.
Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe next time I'm just going to leave my bra like draped over the chair and see how that feels.
Yeah.
Maybe cool. I will start doing that because right? I've started just holding tampons. Well, like growing up, I would hide them in my hand or my sleeve until yes. I was like, who fucking cares?
Who fucking
you should
cares?
Be so lucky I've arrived with my period. I'm going to wave it around.
Right? Dude, believe me, as a parent of an 11-year-old girl, I am trying to like preach all the openness about everything. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Just don't, like, it's all good, girl. Just let's talk about it. Whatever it is, let's talk about it.
I love that.
That is so
good. Yeah, right?
I love that so much.
So many memories of just like the awkwardness of your period and being at school and like not dealing yeah. with it, or like leaking through your pants because you're like afraid to go to the bathroom, or like you don't want to like.
Totally.
I wore pads too. So then it's like, okay, how am I going to hide this pad? By the mm-hmm. way,
I know.
I like think back to what I was wearing and I'm like, you could see my pad through my pants. Like there's no
or like there's that like no huge question. Bag that you would like take out of your backpack when you went to the bed thinking that you were being all uh-huh. like yeah.
Yes.
No, everybody fucking
it's
knew
also
what was happening.
Crazy in school that you have to ask permission to use the bathroom. What's the alternative? You sit there and shit yourself? Like, it's so crazy to me. Can I go to the bathroom? No, sit
no.
for a second. We're not done with this problem. No.
P.S.
So
my daughter had a teacher that said, no, you can't. And I, oh my God, I let that woman have
Wait,
holy hell.
Really?
Oh,
that's
for real.
Fucking insane.
Fucking yeah. Second grade, she was like, no, you have to wait. And I was
second
like,
grade,
are
too.
You
like,
kidding
yeah.
me? What? No, I'm sorry.
Second grade like, is still the age where it's like, I say yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. I could wait or I might just
right.
piss on myself.
Right,
like it's,
right.
It's kind of shaky there.
And I told her, I'm like, girl, no one can tell you that you can't go to the bathroom, okay? If your teacher says no and you have to go, just get up and go. Like,
that's
mm-hmm.
good. Because, I mean, you really, you can't get in trouble for that. That's an absurd
no,
thing.
No, I know. It's
like, do they do that to stop people from, like, when they think you're lying or something?
Yes,
like, you're going to go.
I think so. And, like, loitering. Case. But also, it's like, if someone is going to lie about going to the bathroom, it means they need a break from class.
Yeah,
like,
right.
either way you go, it's like, just let the
let
fucking
go.
Kid go.
Let
and if
go.
You want to lie and get out of it, say you have to go to the nurse.
Yes, I loved going to the nurse.
I did that
always
so
had
much.
A tummy ache. And I'd be like, can I just like lay down in the dark?
Right?
Before math, I was like, my head hurts. And then I'd be like in there like, laying down forever.
The nurse at my kid's school gives them saltines too, and I think that's another piece of the puzzle.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Yeah, that honestly, she's like, what I just a want treat. Some crackers.
You get overwhelmed, have some saltines, sit in the dark for a little bit, get recharged, go back to class.
Sounds great. Right? I actually just remembered being in the nurse's office and helping make ice packs with like those brown paper towels around chunks of ice. And then you'd put it in a plastic bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shove them in her freezer. So she always had an ice pack.
There you go.
That was
fun. She puts you to work. She's like, you're here.
Wet brown paper towels really smell specific.
They do. Why do schools use those paper? I guess they're cheap.
Well, let me tell you, right around, what, May, when you couldn't get shit in terms of paper products, that's what arrived at my door when I ordered paper towels.
Really?
So we revisited that brown paper towel awfulness in my house.
Wow.
Yes.
I was using gigantic office rolls of toilet paper that I ordered from Staples.
When
the pandemic started, there was no toilet paper. And then I ordered that and I got 12 huge rolls. And then I just went through them all. I was like, we're doing this.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
We did what we had to do.
We did. That was horrible.
Yeah. This year has been truly very...
hasn't been great.
Interesting. I don't want to say it's like all bad, but like a lot of it's been not great.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's basically bad.
It was funny. We were sitting at dinner last night and my husband was like, so, okay, what is like everybody's favorite memory of 2020? And we all were like, the first 5 days of last January when we were traveling and like on a vacation. And then it all just went to shit.
I know. It was honestly so bizarre to look back in your phone, like see the photos of what you were doing like a week before and you had no idea.
No idea. We went out to dinner with friends the night before LA shut down. And I remember our friend being like, you guys, this might be the last time we will get to go out to dinner for a really long time. And my husband and I were like, oh, you're being overdramatic. It's going to be fine. Like, we'll be out again soon.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. It was holy shit.
I know.
It's wild to think that, like, we're leaving this year and, like, it's still not better.
No.
It's so wild.
No. It's so not better. It's so not better. Jesus. Are you guys, you guys are both in LA, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
not
it's
great.
Rough.
And I live near Glendale Hospital, so like we've just been hearing ambulances like nonstop. It's kind of wild.
Oh my crazy. God. I mean, not to like take it to the COVID place, but having just been through that insanity, I will tell you that the mind fuck, and I hope we can swear because I think I've been doing it the whole time.
Oh yeah, fuckity fuck.
The mind fuck of COVID is almost worse than the symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. Because like every time I'm like, oh my God, I'm having trouble breathing. And I'm like, you know, checking my pulse ox and making sure that everything's fine. And of course it's fine. And I'm like, okay, so this is probably more like a panic attack than like COVID related. But it is such a mind fuck.
No,
it's attached to this massive thing. Like you get the thing that the entire world is trying to avoid.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about it before we started the show, but you and your husband have, if you want to talk about it, you can. If not, we can cut it out. But
yeah, no. Oh, my God. Absolutely. I've been very vocal about it because we were those people that did nothing and still got it. So I'm like, whatever. Well, I'm not going to not talk about it.
Which is so crazy because I'm hearing more and more about that.
Yeah. I know. And I don't do much at all. I mean, I've had a few doctor's appointments. And like I went to the eye doctor the other day, but they were really clean. I mean, you know, just things that I feel like I have to do. But I'm still like, I don't do anything. And yet I hear these stories and it does feel just very alarming.
It's crazy. And like, I have friends that are like looking for the out. They're like, oh, but you know, you probably saw people, right? Or like you went to the market. And I'm like, sorry, I can't give you an out. Like we didn't do shit. Literally, we did nothing.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And sucks. Like, honestly, my brother started production again on his show, The Orville, 3 weeks ago. And so he's been working with this amazing epidemiologist. And so we were talking a lot about it. And he was like, what we really think is that you guys, my husband Spencer, probably just touched something, an Amazon box or groceries that got delivered. And then it's been so fucking dry in Los Angeles, right? So he's like all up in his nose. And that was probably it. And then I got it from him.
It's so rough because I feel like we worked up to a point where they were like, it doesn't really get transmitted on objects.
Yeah.
I was like obsessively washing my hands and like after every single thing I touched and cleaning things. And then like I kind of got a little lax with that more recently when I felt like they were saying that doesn't really happen. But then I feel like maybe it does. And now I should just be washing my hands constantly.
Look, I don't think it does. I think it's really rare. I think that there's so much of this that is truly just luck. And I think we hit some shitty luck for what, you know, it just happens. And it's like, I mean, luckily we both had it on the mild side, but yeah, it's crazy, fucking crazy.
Oh boy, I don't want COVID. I don't want it at all.
And you know what's so crazy too? My kids did not get it. My kids lived with us. They were with us, like in the house. We had masks on the whole time, but there was a whole chunk of time where we didn't know that we had it, right? And then Spence got it, and then I tested negative, and so I'm around the kids. He's quarantined in the bedroom, and I'm taking care of the kids. And then 5 days later, I test positive, and the kids did not. They tested negative.
That's the wildest thing that, like, some people just won't get it. Some people will get it. Some people get incredibly sick, and then some people don't.
Have it's no just symptoms.
Such a fucking mind fuck.
It is. The weirdest thing about the whole thing was the losing of the taste and smell.
So that happened.
Oh, has it come back?
Yeah, but it literally came back like mid-meal. Like I was like, it isn't like a cold where it's like a slow, like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm starting to taste things. I could taste nothing. And then I took a bite and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Spencer was like, what? And I'm like, I can taste.
That's so weird.
It was
weird.
Like somebody flipped a switch.
Oh boy.
And I was eating like a shitty salad too, which was like the worst thing to be eating.
I feel like I just need nutrients and I can't taste it anyway. Like,
oh my God. It was amazing. And for like 3 days, everything was the best version of the thing that I've ever tasted.
Wow.
Yeah.
How wild.
Crazy. Isn't that weird?
Oh, boy.
It was the same with the smell. It was like I couldn't smell anything. And then it was like, whoa, OK, that's hand sanitizer and that's body lotion. Like, it's crazy.
That reminds me of when I got my wisdom teeth out and I couldn't eat anything for like a couple of days. And I was drinking this like broth that I was like, this is the best thing I've ever had. And to the point where like afterwards, like when I was back to normal, I wanted to have it again because I loved it so much. And I was like, this tastes like shit. Like, this is nothing. It's like horrible watered down trash. But like, I was so hungry.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Well, okay. I think we should take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get into Return of the Bling.
Oh, yes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
We are back. Okay.
So should we go through the plot summary?
Let's do it. Let's talk it through, and then we'll talk to Rachel about what it was like to make it.
Sounds good.
So, Return of the Bling. Now, wait. What do you want to repeat? What episode this was?
It is episode 13 of season 5.
By the way, I've done some voices on American Dad, which is very fun.
I've done one.
Yeah.
Oh, you seriously?
That's fun.
Yeah. One.
Oh my god.
I think
that's
I'm a
awesome.
Pickle lady.
I've done like random side characters being like, what are you doing? You know, like random stuff. I don't
yes.
know what they were.
That's the bread and butter of animation, my friend.
So fun. Always happy to be called in for that.
Yes.
Okay, so the episode starts with Steve shows Stan the grade he got for writing about his hero Legolas from The Lord of the Rings. And Stan takes him to task for not following a real life hero. And Stan shows him his display case of heroes, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and Ronald Reagan. When Roger reveals that he played on the gold medal winning team as Czech's Lemonieu, Stan refuses to accept it until Roger takes him to a players' reunion where he's recognized and accepted. Stan is amazed and goes into full-blown hero worship. But when Roger reveals he was on performance-enhancing steroids, Stan is appalled. He destroys his shrine to the Olympic team and is at a loss as to what to do next.
So he goes to see Nancy Reagan to channel the spirit of Ronald Reagan and interprets the message as him needing to return the medal to the Olympic Committee. Roger follows Stan and Steve onto the plane but decides to sabotage it to keep his medal. Stan takes control of the medal when Roger leaves to go to the bathroom, but he actually saws off the plane's wing. Then the plane crashes. Stan and Steve proceed towards the Olympic Committee headquarters while Roger descends into a golem-like madness.
Roger finds Stan and Steve, but leads them to an all-female youth hostel. Steve is incapacitated by the charms of the girls, while Olga, the owner, intoxicates Stan. Roger recovers his precious medal, and just as Stan is about to give up, he sees the spirit of Ronald Reagan, who rallies him to keep going. Stan recovers the medal and punishes Roger by throwing him in with the British tourist girls.
Stan makes it to the Olympic Committee headquarters, but just as he's about to drop the medal into the torch, Roger attacks him one last time and falls into the flames, which turn out to be fake. Stan tries to give the medal back to the official, but finds out that no one cares because the Miracle on Ice was good for the committee. Stan is told that Reagan already knew about the steroids and paid off the committee to look the other way. When Steve enlightens Stan about heroes, Stan starts to speak, but is attacked by Roger, who bites off his finger simply because it was done in the movie.
Meanwhile, back from a mission, Reginald hangs out at the Smith House. He previously His previously cold relationship with Haley hits absolute zero when in the laundry, he shrinks her dress that she wanted to use for a date with her new boyfriend, Ian. Reginald offers to take her to a Shaggy concert, but Haley isn't impressed. At the concert, Haley wants to leave, but is jostled by a drunk punk. And Reginald demands an apology, but is refused, and he gets medieval on the punk, impressing Haley. Later, over cognac, Haley reveals her relationship isn't all it's cracked up to be. Reginald tells her she should find someone more mature. Feeling tender, Haley starts to kiss Reginald, but he stops her, telling her he's already in a relationship and wouldn't feel right cheating on his girlfriend. Heading off to bed, Haley extends an invitation to Reggie if he changes his mind. And there you have it.
Yeah, I like this because it dipped in and out of Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
that's
it
what
is.
I loved too.
It was like bestiality in Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Yes. Haley hooking up with a koala.
Yeah,
loved
exactly.
It. Now, Rachel, did you push for this episode? Were you like, I love Lord of the Rings. Somebody write Lord of the Rings. You like, ooh, how fun.
It was so fun. I hadn't seen this episode in a decade, like no joke. And I watched
fun.
It the other day because I was like, oh my God, right. Yes, we did this episode. And then I'm like, a date with Ian? I'm a married woman. Haley's been married forever. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is before she was married to Jeff. It was really fun to revisit this time in the show.
That's so
and,
fun.
I mean, no, I don't think I had any sort of sway with the Lord of the Rings shit, but let's remember that these are animation writers, and you know that they were probably like having a Thunderdome in the writer's room over who got to write this episode because they're all such Lord of the Rings dorks. But that's it was, I honestly don't even know if I'd actually ever seen it when I watched it the other night. It was hilarious with Roger with the stringy Gollum hair and it was funny.
And it was fun for me, Nicole, I don't know if you agree, but, actually getting all of those references very easily. I was like, oh
yeah,
this is what it's supposed to feel like, you know, before I would have been like, oh, I think that's.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, I get it. Gollum, the stringy hair.
Yes.
Okay. The ring, it's invisible. Yeah. It's kind of pointless when you're in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, we got all the jokes.
I get it. Well, and everybody always asks us what our favorite Roger persona is because he's had something like 350 personas at this point in the series. And I've always said my favorite is Chex Lemino. I just totally forgot that that was the episode that it was from.
Oh, that's funny.
I love Chex Lemino. It's hilarious.
And do you ever watch the show typically or like not so much?
This is so awful. I mean, like, again, we're past 300 episodes at this point,
yeah,
which is bananas. So, and this is going to sound so awful, but if there's ever an episode that I'm like, oh, I really like that, or I got to sing in it, or it was particularly good for Haley, I will record it and watch it and see how it went. But
yeah.
Sadly, no, like when we do Comic-Con, they have to give us refreshers of all the episodes from
I love that because I really relate to that. And I don't always know what I've done or what's going on.
And also, you know, with
I don't know what I've done or what's going on.
Truly, I'm like, yeah. I would love a refresher on like everything before having to speak about it.
Like, if you do animation, which you guys do, you know, this is a year, like a solid year from the time you record it to when you actually could even watch it. And so it's like, what was that about? What did I do?
And it's like a day of your life that you said these things and then like, you know, you kind of move on to something else. And the idea of being able to remember all the plot lines later would be astounding.
I mean, I'm sure that you know, in all the shows that you guys do, like the fans know exponentially more about the show.
Oh, my God. Yes,
absolutely.
Like they are a wealth of knowledge. And when they ask questions at conventions and stuff, too, it's always like, oh, God, you probably know the answer to that better than I do.
Yeah. must have been a bummer this year to not be able to do any of that stuff. I feel like that's usually a common thing for a lot of voiceover people.
Yeah. It was funny, too, because I had just started dipping my toes into the convention world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to a fellow voiceover friend of mine who does a ton of them right at the start of the pandemic and being like, hey, are you going to whatever, like Texas or whatever this convention is? And he's like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a good idea. And now looking back, it's like, can you imagine a worse fucking place to be during COVID than a convention? Because everybody's sweaty and they're all together and they just want to put their arms around you and touch you. And you're already hand sanitizing like crazy. It's just, will the convention culture bounce back after this?
I can't imagine.
I think it will eventually, but maybe there'll be nice rules where it's like, here's an X for you to stand on. Here's the X where I stand on. And it's a little bit apart. So we're not like, you know, super close to each other, which, you know, is nice because then people will have to learn how to like put like respect boundaries.
Yeah. Well, okay. Have you ever walked the floor at San Diego Comic-Con?
I've never been.
Okay.
I have.
It's like New Year's Eve in Times Square. Like,
oh, then never mind.
It literally cannot move. It's insane. And you'll like hit a wall of people where you're like, oh shit, I can't, there's no direction I can go in right now.
That's
like,
scary.
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that sounds, that's honestly, awful. That sounds insane for like non-COVID times.
I know. It's like
yeah,
panic
wall of like, people. You get the Comic-Con crud. Like whenever you do a convention, you pick up something. Like whether it's a gold,
I haven't heard
or
that.
Yeah, it's like if you go to the Great Wolf Lodge, you come home with something. You know?
That's how I feel about the Madonna Inn. Everyone goes there, and I'm like, those rooms look really designed.
I love
to
the Madonna Inn. I've never stayed in a room.
The rooms
but I really
are so
want to.
Designed in a way where you're like, they can't have cleaned all those shells. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
You're correct. And the rugs, like unless they're changing the rugs out every 2 years. Because they're thick. All of them, like in the pictures, they look so thick. Yes. I just want to stay there so bad.
I've never stayed there either. I've driven by it a million times, but never stayed.
Yeah, me neither.
It's fun to visit like we never just will. The outside. There's a secret garden. They have cakes and stuff. Their cakes are very good. What else did we do?
Well, the restaurant's really pretty too, isn't it?
Oh,
like, it's
yeah.
kind of a funky, kitschy, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But God. I mean, I don't know how anything's going to be after we get through this with like the sort of PTSD that we're going to have where I know a lot of people, I including myself, have nightmares about being close to people. Like you just are like, oh no, I'm in a place without a mask. And, like,
or like I have nightmares. I've been having them for 10 months where I'm like on the subway in New York and I realize I'm not wearing my mask and I freak out and I'm like trying to find it and I don't have it. Or like it's, we're going to have some serious PTSD.
It seems impossible.
I know.
I feel like I've gone crazy. I truly bought a shield that looks like a full-blown helmet.
I saw that, and I think that's kind of good.
I was just like, I don't want what these people are serving. I don't want it.
No.
I don't want it.
But see, I think at the level, I like those shields, and a few of my friends have gotten like really intense like head shields. But have you worn it out? Like, what does it feel like to actually walk down the street in that? Because I think it might feel completely crazy.
I think people will laugh at me, and I do not care. I will giggle right back and be like, at least I'm not dead.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
It's true.
Yeah, I haven't worn it out. I can't walk. I can't go anywhere. So I truly bought
it. Right, your leg.
For one day. One day I'll leave.
Is it like, my friend is an oral surgeon, and he sent a picture of his PPE, and it looks like an astronaut helmet, basically, that he wears.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's great, man. I mean, like,
an oral surgeon. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he got COVID back in March because that was when no one was wearing masks. Nobody knew anything about viral load. It was like he's in somebody's mouth, and he got, like, this is a guy that, like, runs marathons and is super healthy, and he was down for like a month. Like, it was crazy. It kicked his ass. Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's
Lord.
Like the worst job to have.
Anything
being in people's mouths.
Mouth.
Yeah.
That's rough. Actually, I have a dentist appointment coming up, and I just thought I should probably just cancel that. I don't have to go.
Okay. I have been to the dentist during COVID.
I went, but I went 6 months ago. Like,
it's
already been so long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I know,
that's
right?
crazy.
Like, I'm already back to my next appointment. I'm like, this is nuts. I don't, but I'm kind of like just wary. I'm wary. Even when I went to the eye doctor, I thought, why did I do this?
No, I know. I did a couple of appointments too. And it was like, there were some that just were like, I don't feel like you're taking it seriously enough, doctor, with your mask kind of hanging.
I think just like leaving my house, I feel like, why did I do this?
Yeah. Well, especially right now because it's feeling like it's spreading so fast out here and it's so common.
Yeah. My doctor's in Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something. The people at Beverly Hills, they don't believe in COVID.
Dude. Oh, my God.
If you get in an elevator with someone in Beverly Hills, I have had this experience. I went to my doctor in Beverly Hills and this woman was in the elevator and she had on a mask. We all have to wear one in the building. And she was like, she said something like, oh my God, I can't wait till we don't have to wear a mask. And I was like, yeah, I know. I mean, I agree with that. And then she was like, it's causing me to have problems with my breathing.
Oh God.
And I can't. And I was like, right. I've never heard of that. Okay, bye. Like, I just,
I mean,
get out of
everybody
here.
Who's had problems breathing through a mask, I'm like, I am so fat. And if I can exercise wearing a mask, you can walk for 30 seconds wearing a mask. Also, you could Postmate shit. You don't have to be out.
No,
you can stay home and not wear a mask.
I just wore an N95 in my house for 2 solid weeks. Yeah. Let me tell you, okay? If I can fucking do that, you can wear a mask for 10 minutes wherever it is that you have to go. It was nothing. After a while, I forgot it was on. Seriously, I was like, I'd fall asleep with it. It was like, it's like, you just got to get used to it. But Beverly Hills, I read something the other day that was really fucked up, where one of my favorite restaurants in Beverly Hills was apparently secretly inviting people to a party.
Yes. What? This is a crazy. So nuts. It was like, keep it secret, but tell all your friends.
But tell all your friends.
It literally said they were doing a speakeasy, having an indoor dining New Year's Eve. Because let's do it. If you guys are into this, let's do this. Don't tell anyone, but tell everyone.
Can you believe that?
Like, that is the craziest thing. And I don't understand. I feel like it's this, that it just clearly is that same mentality of like, I don't believe in this. This is a hoax and I'm the exception to this. You know, I want to go out on New Year's.
So sad because I love their salads. I was like, I don't know if in good faith I can go back there now. If this is the shit that they're peddling.
I've never been there. And I was like, ooh, it looks kind of cute. And I was like, wait a minute. No, they're bad.
They used to have a branch, if that's what you call it. I don't know. In Toluca Lake, where I went like 20 years ago. I used to go there and get their salads. And then they closed. And so I would go to Beverly Hills. And I can't anymore. I'm done. I'm sorry. It's like fucking Hobby Lobby. It's not happening.
Yeah, right. You should draw the line somewhere.
I have to get my chopped salad someplace else. But it's insane. I'm sorry. Beverly Hills. Yes, insane. It is insane. Truly insane.
There's definitely a handful of people I follow who live in that area and they're celebrities, like famous people who I can tell don't think this is real, but they won't say it. And I'm just going, there's something about how you're out and about all the time that just doesn't sit right.
I think we all have those friends on Instagram where it's like, ooh, you're just doing a lot and I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what, like, we're living two completely different lives now.
Yeah, it's super wild.
Our years have been very different. Yeah.
Yes.
I went through a wedding hashtag this morning and saw a bunch of people just like celebrating at this wedding of people I truly don't know. I don't know. They were somehow on my Explore page and I was like, all right, I'll look at Steve and Michelle's happy time or whatever the hashtag was. God. And I was like, oh, wait, they full ass had a wedding 2 days ago with a bunch of people inside and they're taking all these pictures. And I was like, it truly is like two separate worlds.
Do you know who is fully thriving right now is The Bachelorette, Tayshia. So they were, I love The Bachelorette. I watch these shows, but they were fully quarantined and they were all on this resort for the entire time. So they were in a bubble, whatever. She picked a guy. Now they're out and about and they are traveling to see and meet all of their family. They're married, they're engaged now. And they're just going places. And there's no explanation of how they're doing it. She's like, now we're off to meet his family. I'm like, why are you, you just were with your family? This is crazy.
It's insane. And it really makes my blood boil because like my children will literally probably have PTSD from this fucking year. Like we at dinner last night, I was like, God, it's amazing. We've spent 10 months together and we also really like each other. Isn't that great? My 11-year-old was like, yeah. But I wouldn't mind hanging out with some other people.
Couldn't hurt to see a few other faces.
I agree. Yeah, no, we're all together on that. But like there are people, I have friends on Instagram and they're traveling. They're like at ski resorts. And I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I like to think that we're teaching our kids like, hey, we're thinking about other people right now. Like that's what we're doing. We're thinking about the greater good. And that's what we should do.
Yeah.
We can take some time not thinking about ourselves.
It's a good lesson. It's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. My nephews are sick of it. So I can't imagine being a kid and having to, like, at least we can kind of rationalize, like, this will end. Like, I understand, like, it's okay for me to, like, miss out on, like, all the things. But, like, missing out on school feels different, like, all the sort of experiences that you have when you're growing up.
Oh, I know. And when you're, like, a tween, those are those years, right? Yeah. Those are pivotal years. It's or months in school. It's crazy.
Yeah.
My daughter, there's a new girl in her class, and she's become very close friends with this kiddo, and they're literally FaceTiming constantly. And I said to her a couple days ago, I was like, honey, isn't it kind of funny that you two have never met? It's like you've never met in person.
Oh my God. When school starts again, it's going to be seeing like your FaceTime pen pal in person.
Totally.
They're going to be the happiest they've ever been.
Yes,
oh my
it's
God.
Like, everyone's going to be living 90 Day Fiancé when they finally get to meet their online love. And they're like, I've been waiting to see you.
Oh, no. The new season, it's by crazy. The way. Wowie. Zowie. Do you watch Rachel? Have you seen 90 Day?
No. What am I missing out on?
Oh, it's my. Very you need fun this show. In your life. This is the best show. This is a show where people date people in other countries and then they get a 90-day visa to get married and they can come to the States or they can go the other place.
Wow.
And usually they hate each other. And right. There's no rhyme or reason as to why they're still in this relationship.
Oh no,
my God.
It's what just is the it best on, what, show.
Where do we watch this?
TLC, the Learning Channel.
The Learning Channel.
It's on the Learning Channel.
The Learning Channel.
It truly teaches you nothing.
Where you can learn about pimples being popped.
I'm sorry. Ever since, what was it, Trading Spaces? I'm like, the Learning Channel. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Trading Spaces, which by the way was like torture. Like they'd come into your house and make it so ugly.
Awful. Yes. Oh my God, it was the worst.
Like, redo it. You'd be like, you put pentagrams on my wall. Yeah. Like, well, I was feeling witchy.
Right.
It's like, and it's, you can't do that in someone's house.
No, dividing rooms with curtains and like awful like crepe paper shit. And it's like, oh God.
It was the tackiest thing ever. I could rewatch that. That might be
like,
fun.
Sand in people's houses. No, it was awful. Yeah.
I know. They'd be like, we're going to sponge paint some pots and line your whole wall. It's like, this looks like shit.
The Learning sponge Channel.
Well, all people had no interior design skill, which is what made it even better.
Yeah, right. They were just like neighbors who were like, yeah, let's do it.
And then imagine how much they hated each other after that. And they're like, I never want to see you again.
Yeah, it's like, you'll never get my casserole, Susan.
I had a friend who was on one of those shows and the result was terrible. I've seen it. I've like been in the space. It's atrocious. It's like, oh God, you could not have done this in a cheaper way. It's just terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
That was part of it too. Like the budget was like $2.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like, instead of like a beaded curtain, it'd be like solo cups. And you'd be like, what?
Totally.
Why did they do this? But I have started watching House Hunters Renovation and it's fun.
I don't
you
like
have
that.
All of the House Hunters, but then you have the renovation, like Property Brothers. It's really, I
oh,
really
that's
enjoy
my
it.
Jam. I got to get into that.
Yeah, look, I'm very here for it.
If we're talking voiceover too, the woman that does the VO for House Hunters Andromeda. Has the sweetest gig in the fucking world. I swear to God. How many years has that been going? And it's
so
just
many
beautiful.
Years.
It's just beautiful. It's,
how do you get that?
My roommate follows her on Instagram and then DM'd her and was like, we love you, Andromeda. She was,
I didn't even know her name. Her name is Andromeda.
She was very kind, but I was like, you're being crazy.
I love that.
It's amazing.
That seems like a really sweet gig too, because you can just kind of bang them out. Like there's like endless episodes.
No, and there's no vocal strain there. This is not like recording Call of Duty or something. Yeah, it's just talking. That's it.
Just nice talking. You never have to scream.
Right.
Dream job right there.
What's like the weirdest voiceover job you've had that stands out as like, or like the weirdest, like out of your wheelhouse or something?
So, like we all have things we know we can't do, right? Like you like get to that point and where you're like, oh, I can't do that. Like you're asking me to do this thing and I can tell you I can't do it. Like I do a lot of old lady voices and I do a lot of accents. But I remember an episode, I can't remember what it was, where they were like, can you do old French? And it was something about combining my placement for old people with my French. It just, I couldn't do it. Like I literally couldn't do it. I was like, it just was terrible. Terrible.
That's funny. I feel like that's like, it's kind of like an awkward moment in voiceover jobs when they ask you something like that and you just have to try it out. Like you don't
totally.
Know and then you just have to do it. And I've had that with singing because I don't think I'm a great singer. Like I can carry a tune, but it's not my, I wouldn't put that on my resume.
Right.
And but I've had to sing as characters before and things. And it feels crazy because I'm like, you will see my limits up here. Like it,
right.
It will happen.
We all have them.
In front of your eyes as you try to watch me hit this note with this voice on, by the way. It's like, this is insane. It's just humiliating.
I also can't, I can't do like an evil cackle. Like that is, I cannot do that. That is something.
I could never do that. I can sort of do one now, but I had years where I couldn't scream and I couldn't cackle. Like I had like real, like it just wouldn't.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Cackling is really, really hard.
Cackling is really hard. And I wouldn't say mine is good, but I can push something out. But like when you hear someone who can really do one.
Yeah.
It's like amazing.
A good one.
My mind doesn't compete
with
that.
I had to have a stunt cackler once.
Really?
Oh. It was an episode of, I think it was American Dad, where Haley was off the rails on something and I had to like cackle throughout the whole thing. And it kept, I was like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, this is not good. Yeah. And I asked my friend Dee Baker, who's Klaus, who's like the voiceover god. And I'm like, Dee, I need cackling lessons. And he like tried to help me and I still couldn't get it. And I went and I'm like, you got to fucking get a stunt cackler because I can't do this.
I love that though. Like, I feel like that's something that you like, you don't realize is possible. And then you'll just like drive yourself crazy and feel bad and be like, I couldn't do it. And it's like, hey, someone's really good at
it's
that.
It's good, right? I mean, I don't know if I'm sure I can say this. It's probably common knowledge, but I do most of Meg's singing for Family Guy.
That's awesome.
Oh, because, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not Mila's jam. She doesn't sing. She'll
and that's
own
great.
That completely. And so I just stunt sang for their Christmas episode a couple days
that's
ago.
That's awesome. Because I do think that's something that's kind of, it feels like it's implied, like you have to be able to do both of those things.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone can do that.
No.
Yeah, I can't sing. Totally.
Singing is a very special
skill.
It's
so hard.
I think people just assume, too, when you do voiceover that you can do it. Mm-hmm. I know I do. I just assume that I'm like, oh, everybody can sing, right? It's like, no.
Yeah. It's very, I truly can't, like, hear notes. I'm, like, fully tone deaf. I had to sing for a job. And at the table read, before I started singing, I said, this will be so awful, I promise you. And oh boy, I got laughs for all the wrong reasons. And then when we were recording it, and they're like, and we'll get to the song later. And then they're like, that's a wrap on you this season. And I was like, they did. I was like, so they just took care of it. They didn't.
Oh,
I wasn't
love
like,
that.
Are you sure you don't want to try it? It was like, you don't have to worry about this. We will do it.
That's really amazing. Nice.
It was
that's
so like, kind that it wasn't
a
like a, let's try it. Cause I've had jobs where they're like, let's speak sing. And I'm like, guys, you don't want this.
And
no.
Like, it's not the intended, like, product. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you want something that sounds good. It's only audio. Like, we need to
I also
this.
Think, like, my husband's an artist, and we've had this fight for 20 years where he's like, I'm like, you could teach somebody to draw, but you cannot teach somebody to sing. I truly do not think you can teach somebody
okay,
to sing.
Okay, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that. Like, I have sung in my life, like in choir growing up or whatever, and I was like,
yes.
Fine. Then I didn't do it for a long time. And I am like, I can carry a tune, but I also know when I'm really off. Like, I can hear that I'm off, but I can't fix it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I took one singing lesson like last year because I've been wanting to do it forever. But I've been nervous about it because I feel like it's so vulnerable. And it was so vulnerable that I truly was like, I cannot continue doing this. I feel so embarrassed because I know I'm not doing well yet. And and it's like, I have a bit of a perfectionist problem where I'm like, I want to be good immediately. And it's kind of awkward for you to watch me suck at this.
Right.
But I'm like, part of what I thought was going to stop me was she was like, you have to do these warm-ups every day. And I was like, no.
Right.
Like, like,
I couldn't possibly do that. You're asking too much of me.
I know. Plus, I'm sorry. I don't warm. I mean, like, I'm lucky if I warm up before I say. I don't think people really warm up. I mean,
see, like, I'm like me going
occasionally.
Every day is going to like make it really happen. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So you believe it's like kind of like an innate thing.
I do. I really, really do. Where I think, like, seriously, my husband's like, I know you can teach me how to sing. And so my daughter has a great voice and she's got incredible pitch and she can harmonize. She's been able to harmonize since she was 5. She can just do it. She gets it. It, like, makes sense to her. And my husband will, like, try to teach him how to harmonize. And I'm like, you hear that you're not singing the same thing as me, right? And he's like, nope. Can't tell. I'm not singing the same thing as you. And he is off and it's like, I'm like, you can't. I can't teach you.
I think you can kind of, like, fine tune a talent. But it's hard to teach someone, like, fully a talent.
But didn't, like, Reese Witherspoon learn how to sing for Walk the Line?
But again,
if
you have a foundation where you understand pitch, right, and you understand musicality a little bit, and you can sing on key, then you can get to different levels.
Yeah.
But if you can't hear it, I think that's the thing. It's like teaching somebody to hear harmony, right?
That makes total sense. It's like, if you can't hear that you're wrong at all, we will never get through this.
Right.
Like, there's no way for you to ever hear you're right. Like, it just doesn't work.
Right. It's like, people, you're like, and they're like, like, can you hear that you're not singing the right note? And they can't. They're like, no, I can't tell.
Yeah, that's me.
Luckily, you have many other talents.
Yeah, you don't need it. You're good.
Right? Okay.
Thank you.
We don't all, that's what I said to my daughter. I'm like, we don't all need to do all the things, right?
That's what my mother used to say.
No, and that's a good lesson.
Yep. We have one or two things that we can do well, and that's great. Let's be happy.
Oh my God,
about
have
that.
You seen Soul?
I loved Soul. Oh my God.
I loved Soul so much. I was like, ugh. Mike and I were sobbing holding hands.
I know.
At one point.
See, I watched like, it with the nice man who lives with me and he doesn't emote. So I was like, don't cry. You won't have a friend to cry with you.
But how do you not cry? I mean, like, that was a. It's funny. We tried to watch it with the kids. Turns out, not really a kids' movie. More yeah. for grownups.
I know. My friend said this about, she watched it with her son and he's 7 and she was yeah. like, he started having like an existential like breakdown.
It's a lot to try to explain to a kid, but yeah. I don't necessarily think it's bad because
no.
death is an interesting thing and it happens and, totally. You know, why not talk about it early?
Well, yeah. and, you know, I was putting my daughter to bed and the other night and after we watched it and she said, Mom, you know that line where she said that the fish wanted to go to the ocean and then he found out he had always been in the water? You know, what did that mean? I didn't get that. And it was such an interesting conversation then mm-hmm. to have about, you know, what is it? Life is what's happening to you while you're making plans, right?
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, it's the small things in life. He didn't realize that he was already in the ocean.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there were definite things she picked up on from it. But I think overall, it's kind of like Coco, where, oh, my mm-hmm. God, I can't watch that movie without I sob at the
Ugh,
end.
I
every
love
single
I haven't
time.
Seen the ending, which is like the most
oh,
insane
you haven't
thing
seen
for
the
me
ending
to
of
say.
Coco?
Oh, my God. I didn't want to say it.
Lauren, you have
I know,
to
I know,
finish
I
have, it.
I know. I don't know why I didn't watch the end. And then I did something else and then I just never watched it.
It's,
but
I mean,
I gotta
and,
watch
and
it.
Like, if you happen to have somebody that you love that has died and the end of Coco will decimate you.
Okay,
like,
it's
literally
cool. so good.
Will fucking
Also, I just watched,
you.
It's not a Pixar movie, but it's called 40-Year-Old Virgin. Or no, not Virgin.
Virgin.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's not a picture of a 40-year-old virgin, and it's hilarious.
You're like, it's so funny. He's never had sex.
This newcomer, Steve Carell, is so great. I think he's like really got a, you know, a career ahead of him.
No, when they rip woman, off that chest
and it's
hair.
It's just so good. It's like done in black and white. It's like a comedy, but also a drama. I think her
it
name
has
is,
popped up on my Netflix. I didn't know what
you
that was.
Watch
huh,
it.
Okay.
It's like it's really fucking good.
Okay, cool.
The music in Soul was
oh my God.
Beyond.
The music was
oh,
so
the music
good.
In Soul was so good.
Well, at first I was
phenomenal.
Like, without giving anything away, I was like, I want to just watch these people do a jazz performance for an
Same.
Hour and a half. But that doesn't happen. But then you're like, it's still amazing music. While that's not happening,
and I don't like just jazz, but I was like, I think I like jazz.
Well, imagining the animation like being made was like the craziest part to me. Like the way the fingers were going over the mm-hmm. keys, or
well,
like it was just so impressive.
It was some of the most beautiful animation I've ever seen with the little helicopter thing coming from the
yes,
the tree. I mean, like it was just gorgeous. And then at the very end, when it was like made at Pixar and at various homes around the Bay Area from 6 feet away,
oh, I
literally started to
that.
Cry when I saw
I
that. I was
that
like,
either.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Right? Because this entire movie was made in this insane time.
Well, I just got like, chills.
Right? That they were able to
crazy.
Do that? Isn't that incredible?
I don't even understand that at all. I don't understand animation at all. I think
Me
I,
either.
I'm like blown away by it.
Well, I mean, I remember the beginning of March finding out that we were shutting down. Everybody was shutting down. All the shows were and you know, ending, and it was like, oh crap, like this is really scary. What are we going to do for work? And within 2 weeks, we were back working.
Wow.
And the animation industry pivoted so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I've recorded dozens and dozens of broadcast quality shows from here. Hello, this is my husband's shirts. like, it's insane how
it is
quickly
amazing.
They were mm-hmm. able to figure it out.
No, it's so awesome. And it's been, I mean, that's been like a nice comfort, even just for the random little jobs I'll get for voiceover during this time
yeah.
and being like, okay, this is something that can keep happening, which
totally.
Just feels good.
Oh my God. I've never felt more lucky to work in animation than I have this year because
yeah.
we just kept working.
I mean,
yeah.
and you couldn't have predicted that, like that
no.
they could figure that out and that it would work and all that stuff. Like, I mean, it sounds just as good and it's great.
Well, and everybody was so helpful too, because we all had to figure out, like, you know, getting these different things like Source Connect so that you could be on with all of your different producers and directors at the same
mm-hmm.
time. And I, my little community of animation voiceover actors came together and everybody helped everybody figure it all out and get our systems set up and up and running.
I love that.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was such a feeling of community. And that because everybody cool. just wanted everybody, to, we just wanted everybody to work, you know?
Right.
I mean,
I will
good
say,
God.
I love going to a studio and not having to set things up. And then they're like, uh-oh, it's too loud in that room. And you're like, okay, let me try to find another quiet room.
I know. I have to say my closet is not ideal. I was like, I had a whole setup. They brought over like a full computer. Like they gave me like all this stuff just for a one session. And they came and got it right after I was done.
Really?
But I had to set up like a huge amount of technological things by myself. And it was very confusing. And then it's I'm like standing confusing. In my closet, which is not comfortable. It's like very small. And I'm like leaned against my skirts and being like, I'm screaming in my closet at 10 a.m. Like it feels insane.
What? As my shirt keeps attacking me. all right. I will tell you a funny story here. We actually left L.A. for 4 months of the pandemic to live with my dad, who lives is over on Kauai. And so there were no cases there. We had access to incredibly safe travel thanks to a member of my family. And so we went and we spent 4 months.
That's brilliant.
And yeah, but I needed to work while I was there. So there was an upstairs closet that my husband turned into my studio. The only thing is it had no vents, nothing, right?
Oh, no.
So it was the heaviest blankets you could possibly imagine encasing this room with no vents. So I would do a 5-minute session and it was like I had taken a fucking Bikram yoga class. I would literally record naked, like sweating and come out and just be like, oh my God, The sessions that were longer than that were like, it was the most horrific.
Just torture.
Yeah, it was torture. It was. we set up this like MacGyver air conditioning thing where it was like a tackle box with ice packs and a fan that would like blow over the ice packs to try to cool the room.
I feel like it'd be so amazing to watch the episode of whatever you recorded and then see a side by side with you like sweating naked in a closet. And just like that's how this was made.
Seriously. This episode brought to you by BO. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But I mean, truly, we can do this from anywhere, which is what we learned from that.
That's what's amazing.
I know.
And same with podcasts. I mean, it's like really been a blessing to be able to do the podcast from my bed. You know, I feel pretty great about that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's kept you kind of sane doing this, too.
It has. It's been nice, like, seeing each other and seeing friends and feeling like, okay, we're having a conversation. It feels like, you know, a normal thing, but
it's a little slice of normal time.
It's weird because I'm like, I sort of don't miss going to studios because it fills your day, like, driving around town and doing all these different things.
Yeah.
But I will be happy to go anywhere when it's possible. So yes, don't mean that fully.
Do you guys know a lot of people that have left LA? Because we know a lot of people that have
moved away.
Yeah. Straight up moved away.
I know like a couple
of a handful of people that I don't know well, but that I heard through the grapevine they moved. But yeah, no, I know a lot of people were talking about like, oh, is this the time to bounce? Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's just so interesting how many people I'm like, oh, you're there now. Okay. That's where you live. You're right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I guess in voiceover, it's true. We really can do this from anywhere.
Yeah, truly anywhere.
Right. But it's funny because when my husband and I were talking about it, and we were like, do we want to stay in LA? It was like one of the things I realized is that I do like the human element of going to the studio and talking to people. And I like table reads and I like seeing my castmates and I like that element of it. I don't think this would sustain me.
No, and I do think like doing this for a very long period of time would start to feel like a bummer. If it's, you know, the one way you're seeing a lot of people. I can't do this forever.
No.
And I shouldn't have to.
No, you shouldn't. No, nobody should be doing this forever.
No.
We'll be back.
We'll get our vaccines. Right? Maybe in the summer?
I think
we'll
so.
We'll be back together?
I think it's coming. It feels like, I'm realizing I have like a handful of friends in the healthcare industry. I didn't really realize that, but they're all getting the vaccines now.
Yep.
And I feel very relieved for them. And it feels like, okay, it's actually circulating. Like if all of my people have gotten it, that means a lot of people have gotten it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I know. I will. Oh my God. I can't wait. the minute that sucker comes my, I'm gonna be like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna wait and see how people react. Now I'm just like, I don't like, give a shit. I had a measles fucking shot. I had a bunch of shots when I was younger. I didn't get the fucking measles. So gimme.
The thing is, by the time you get it, you will know how people react. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we have a handful of months probably until it's really coming to us.
Yeah.
We'll have a sense of some of the, it seems like everything's going fine.
And everything yeah. that I have read about it too, the science behind it, it's fucking unreal that yeah. this thing has been created in the insanely short amount of time that it has. And it's like one of the safest vaccines that has ever been created. It's yeah. crazy.
Yeah. Like I've read a lot of good things about it, and I feel yeah. Excited and so relieved that it's possible, because I think when this was all first starting, they were like, it'll be 4 years.
Right.
Like, okay, I guess
exactly.
we'll just move into
like,
a cave.
Okay, so we're inside for 4 years. Great.
Well, and like, I know some doctor friends that I respect so much that were like, yes, give it to me. I'm getting it now. Like, I've yeah. done the research. This is good. I'm taking it.
Yes, and that's part of it too. Like watching my friends who are like doctors and nurses, like getting it, and they're just excited. I'm like, okay, well, you would know more than I do.
Yes,
this, so.
Exactly. Yeah,
I trust them.
I know. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Although I guess maybe I have a tiny little bit of natural immunity now.
You must. Yeah. I think it lasts for a few months.
A couple months, I think, is what I've read. I don't know. It yeah. changes so quick.
I know. I'm like,
but
I'm
then
not
they're like,
go...
there's another strain. And
mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm not going to go licking cans at Costco tomorrow. I'm still going to wear my mask.
I do love
but
doing
come on,
that, though.
Won't that be fun?
Well, we've come to the end of our time with you, even though that we could keep going forever because you're just delightful.
Mm-hmm. This has been
but
so much fun.
Is there anything that you would like to plug besides American Dad? Of course, we will all be plugging that.
Oh, gosh. Well, my husband and I do have a couple of children's books that, yes, we are big fans of. And we are in the process of trying to convert into an animated series, too, which would be super fun.
Cool.
Yeah. One is called Eleanor Wyatt, Princess and Pirate. And the other one is Harris and Dwight, Ballerina and Knight. And they're all about helping kids sort of figure out who they are and being okay with whatever that looks like.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yep. Everyone go buy those.
So there you go. Plug, plug, plug.
Okay. Well, Nicole.
Lauren. Oh, me first? Well, I'm going to plug. I have other podcasts. Why Won't You Date Me? Best Friends. You listen to those. Also, rewatch Nailed It because why not?
Yeah.
Also, it's awesome.
Well, if you could hear sniffling, it's my dog. He's, we'll plug Aww. Him. He's being so annoying.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
Babe, look at him, though. He's so cute.
He's like, why won't you play with me? You're sitting in a spot where there's a toy next to you.
I was fully wrestling with my dog like 10 minutes ago. Like my hand was in her mouth while fully talking to you.
Can you imagine going through this whole year without dogs? I can't.
Oh, it would make me so sad.
No,
yeah.
He's
such
amazing.
A good boy. Except for right now. He's like got the squeakiest toy.
Hell,
Lauren, what do you
want
to promote?
Well, I have my podcast, Threedom. I have my Patreon, Lauren Lapkus. And besides that, you know, I really don't know when anything that I've done will come out. And, so, you know, just listen to the podcast, you know, support the Patreon, whatever, Nicole, go get Nicole's Patreon and, tweet at us and tell us what we should do if we do a third season. We're so scared of our next season, whatever it may be.
Oh boy.
Rachel, we did Star Wars for the first one. We did Star Wars.
We did Star Wars.
Now it's Lord of the Rings, which we've really stretched to the max, as you can tell that we would.
Have you done H-Pots yet, by the way? Is that on the table?
Oh, Harry Potter?
Yes.
We have seen
Harry Potter. Yeah, we've seen and both read Harry Potter.
And read it. So we are kind of exempt, but that would have been cool. If we hadn't, because I do enjoy it enough that I would have probably had fun. But
the the Star Trek franchise, the OG,
we can't. Kind of we
fun.
Can't.
No.
We couldn't possibly. We can't.
Like,
we can't
no,
do it.
We just.
We couldn't possibly. No. We no. 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 But thank you for that.
Sorry, thanks for playing.
Well, also, I've seen Star Trek: Next Generation, so I've seen it. So
God,
we couldn't dip
so
in there.
Good.
So we can't do it.
And we
wow,
actually
so
have.
This is kind of tricky, then. Huh?
It is. And we want to do Tyler Perry movies.
Yes.
And wow, that would be amazing. Holy shit!
I think if we did 10 episodes with 10 Tyler Perry movies, that would be. You know, digestible.
How many have there been?
I don't know. Probably so many. I don't
so
know.
So many.
Because, he has so many TV shows that are like,
yeah, he's got like, episodes. I don't know, 10 TV shows and then like, I don't know, maybe 20 movies he's done. He's done so much. He does a lot of quantity.
Yes.
A lot of shit. A lot.
Yes. Well, we have to think
on
this.
As a producer and an actor, too. Wow. That is really fun. Okay.
Yeah. I think that could be a great time. And I think it'd be really different.
Yeah, we just did Tyler Perry. We could watch Gone Girl because he's in Gone Girl.
I was just
going to
say, I loved him in Gone Girl.
I love that. That's a fun movie.
It's such a wild ride. I haven't seen it in so long. And I saw it in theaters, and I remember at one part I just opened my mouth and was like, what? No!
Yeah, probably the scene when she's with Neil Patrick Harris.
Like, yes!
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
That's a moment.
It's so nuts.
It really is.
I had read that book, and so I was not surprised. Ooh, but I remember being like, with whoever I was with, I was like, wait till you get to the twist.
Oh, Warren.
So proud of reading a book. Oh, my God.
Should we do the Battle of the Five-Star segment?
Yes. This is our segment where we read your five-star reviews. So leave a review on your favorite podcast platform for a chance to have it read on air. This one is called Representation Matters by Princess MYD on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate the new perspective Nicole and Lauren have brought to the Star Wars and Lord of the Rings fandoms. So many white men make money from mansplaining geek culture on YouTube and on podcasts, and it's refreshing to see two amazing women enter this space, even if they're not huge fans. I hope to see more women, and particularly women of color, embrace their inner geek and find opportunities to profit from it. Thanks, Princess MYD. You really nailed what we're doing here.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's really funny.
Well, wow. We will be back next week with our final episode of the season. We are doing it. We're going out with a bang because it's something that I think neither of us want to do. And I'm really excited to do it and to wrap it up with LOTR, even though we've had a blast in many, many ways. It's the thing about it is it's like the work is hard, but then the podcast is fun.
Yes, the podcast is so much fun. Speaking to different people has been just a blast, a real treat, if you will. But yeah, like having to watch all these fucking movies
alone
because people leave the room.
I have a question for you. Are you watching the extended cuts, or are you doing?
Friend. No.
Good choice. I think if something was edited, it was edited for a reason, and we don't need to see it. Yeah.
Thank you for respecting that, because I do feel like that was contentious at moments, but I think it was the right choice.
Yes.
You know, some people were like, "You're missing because the part where this happened," and we were like,
"Nope, don't care. We're good.
We don't need it." Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for being here.
It was so fun
talking to you.
Oh my God, thanks for having me, guys. This was a blast.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.